B-Pod Studios.
You don't care? Well, talk. I hate Dale.
I do.
I love baseball. Tough. Where do we find that? We haven't played that in how long? It's been a long time since we played Dan.
We've been waiting to play that, John.
Oh, is that right? You've been waiting to play that? Where was that originally from?
Mike and I were just talking to try and figure that out. But.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. Friday edition of the Toucher and Rich program. Fred and Rich off today. Wallach in. Adam Jones is here. Joe Murray is here. We got you until 10 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And I'm the only one that's remote. I never thought I'd say that. From scenic Natick, Massachusetts, Jones and Joe Murray.
Oh, boy.
In the Tom Fair Tire
Studios.
Are you
really starting off like that today? Now, right?
I know. I can't believe it. Tough. I can't believe I said Jim. It's Joe. I got you right in front of my face. You are. I can see you. So it's Joe Murray and Adam Jones. And, you know, Joe, I was thinking about our bet yesterday. And, Jones, for those of you, I'm sure, do not know about this.
No.
I bet Joe Murray beefs. I bet him some beefs that it would take Rich certainly 3 hours or more to do his 25-mile circuit for the Pan Mass Challenge. And Rich came in under that, so I owe Joe, what was it? Two beefs?
It was a Kelly's roast beef from Revere Beach.
I see.
Which was one of the OGs, Joe.
Oh, so you need a specific location.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You've been there, right, Jones?
I don't know if I've been to the one there. I've been to Kelly's before. I don't think I've been to that exact location.
Yeah, there's a Kelly's on Route 1. I don't know. Is it still there?
That one's still there. Right up from the Kelly's on Route 1.
There actually used to be a Kelly's attached to the Jordan's Furniture here. Remember that?
I've made an appearance.
They've closed that down. They've annexed that. There's more furniture in that space now. Mm-hmm. So there's no Kelly's out here now. But, Joe, I was thinking about our bet, and I don't know if I should pay it before you start eating bread again.
It's true.
I mean, here's the problem. And, Jones, maybe you can be the independent arbitrator here. I owe him two roast beef subs. And you go to Kelly's. It's quality.
Let me just interject. Let me just interject. You're saying two. Joe, you only said one?
I bet him one.
You're saying two.
Okay. I thought I owed you two.
Jones, I'm on a diet right now.
No, I know, but like
I'm not eating bread.
Well, then don't make food bets. I don't know what to tell you. I would take the two.
All right. Well, I guess
I take the second
sandwich.
We're
starting off hot today. Why did I make a bet? Because I needed some action.
I know that, but there's cash that you could have bet.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of other things you could have bet.
Yeah, but come on, do you really think I'm going to take Wallach's money?
Yeah, sure.
Everyone else has.
You basically are.
I'm the worst gambler in the world, Whenever we did the degenerate bets, and we did that for how long, Rich would always bet, there was a reason I was quiet, because I suck at it. I'm awful. Everyone takes my money.
I go to Vegas,
they like rub their hands like, aha, here we go. Here he is. Come to Papa.
Wouldn't you rather just pay him than drive all the way to Revere Beach? I'm sure you would.
No, nonsense. Good people at Revere Beach, Jones.
I actually want to go to Revere Beach with Wallach. That's kind of.
I used to go there when I was a kid. Like we'd go to. Remember, Wonderland used to be open.
Oh yeah.
So
maybe.
We'd go to Wonderland, bet on the dogs, and then we'd stop at Kelly's on the way back. And Kelly's was famous because it's open from 5 a.m. till 4 a.m. They closed at 4. They cleaned the place out, and then they opened it up again.
He's been betting on the dogs for years. I don't know why you're so afraid to take his money.
You're right. You know, I respect the man's paycheck.
Well, I appreciate that, but honestly, Joe, I'm a man of my word. But I don't know. And Jones makes the point: if you're not eating bread, I can't really give you a sandwich.
Yeah. So actually, this brings up an interesting thing. I was asked to be a part of an event that is about essentially who has the best burger.
Nice.
Really?
In the area.
Nice.
How about that?
The station asked me last night. I said, "Well, how am I going to say no to this?"
Were you like? I've been doing this on the weekend for like 5 years.
I'm taking tours of the North and South Shore. I discussed the Cape yesterday.
You realize this is my weekend show, right? Yeah. What do you mean? But okay, fine.
Obviously,
sure.
You folks weren't listening. Yeah. My God.
But I essentially, it's called the Battle of the Burgers.
Okay.
And I'm probably not even sure if I should be talking about this on air, but that was the first thing I thought about was if I go to the Battle of the Burgers, I gotta try the buns, right?
You can't like say, I'm sorry, yeah, you can't give me the burger.
You can't be reviewing burgers without the bun, yeah.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah.
The other thing is,
how are you going to do this?
So the other thing is, it's also week one of the NFL season.
Yeah.
So like maybe I could stop my diet for 23 weeks.
You see, Jones, hold on. Jones, most people say, I'll only stop my diet for the weekend. You know, it'll be a cheap weekend,
right,
and then I'm back on it.
Right.
For Joe, it's like, it'll only be 4 months, and then I'll be fine.
It's the 17-game regular season, the playoffs, and the Super Bowl.
And do what I did with my gym membership at the beginning of the pandemic. Just put it on pause. And then, you know, I never really took it off pause. I don't really know what happened to it, but yeah.
How do I not go to the burger battle and not try all the burgers?
Well, where is the burger battle going to take place?
Encore.
Oh, you're screwed. It's over.
And there's a huge watch party.
That's right down the street from me.
That's right. Yeah. It's week one, Jones. If you want, we can't legally bet there, but I'll take your action.
I'll come sample.
I'll take your money, Jones.
I'll sample some burgers.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think we have a deal here. I think maybe you just give all the hamburgers to Jones and judge by his reaction.
Well, nothing's going to beat a McMurray. I hate to break it to you guys.
By the way, that's a story into itself, because Joe Murray sent Adam and I a picture of a roast beef sandwich that I couldn't believe I saw. It's a grilled cheese on top and a grilled cheese on the bottom with the beef in the middle. I've never seen anything like it, and I got to admit, Joe, I was intrigued.
I think it's one of the better options I've seen in a while.
Yeah, just picture it's a grilled cheese bun, basically. A top and bottom is the grilled cheese bun with the roast beef in the middle. Yeah. I just think it proves how much of an innovator Joe Murray was years and years ago.
Years ago, yes. Yes. The McMurray was. And listen, they changed that menu recently, McDonald's. They were like, we had an employee here at once who came up with this stuff and we didn't use it. People were getting fired.
All right, real quick. I know you've described this multiple times, but we get new listeners all the time. Just real quick, bullet point as far as what is the McMurray?
All right, it's changed. It's evolved, Jones.
It's evolved. Okay.
It's essentially.
It didn't evolve. What was it?
It's definitely two chicken patties in between a couple of beefs with cheese on it.
Okay.
But I've turned it because at sometimes, Jones, it was a double quarter pounder.
Oh, beef. I see.
Or. So I was being.
You want to give people a lean option, a healthy option.
Just get two pieces of chicken and a piece of pork pounder and stuff it in there and eat it.
Yeah.
So, like, for you, Jones, that's the easy way.
People who want to eat clean, give them a good option.
Don't forget that middle bun from the Big Mac, too. You know?
The big boy McMurray is what?
Yeah.
The big boy would be the double quarter pounder with two chickens as the buns.
Wallach, I ate one of these live on the air.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Yes.
How'd that go?
I don't know how I ended up eating this thing. I won a bet with Lifshatz, and somehow I ended up eating it. I don't know. I thought the bet was supposed to be the other way around.
Yeah.
But he dropped it off one night, and it was tasty enough. I mean, I didn't feel great after eating it, but it was tasty enough. I didn't hate it. I ate the whole thing.
Oh, how'd you feel afterwards?
I just said, not great.
But now I'm starting to wonder, like, what do you put, like a hamburger as the buns between a roast beef? Like, what else goes with roast beef?
Oh, I see. So we're not satisfied with just the grilled cheese on top and bottom. We're thinking of alternate options.
The grilled cheese looked legit.
I mean, maybe you could do a BLT.
That looks fantastic. I would eat that in a second.
What about a BLT in the middle of a beef?
Not too much. Too much to go through.
I think we got to take suggestions.
Too much to go through.
I feel like Wallach is sneaky trying to wriggle out of this bet, don't you?
No.
I'm looking out for you, Joe. You're not eating bread.
I'm not
going to pay this off anytime soon.
I'm not looking
out
for
your diet.
I'm not looking out for Joe at all. If he wants to bust his diet, I'll go to Revere Beach this weekend.
I'll be at the Kowloon tomorrow.
Is that right? Does that mean you're busting the diet? Is that the diet's over?
That surprises you, Wallach? What do you mean?
Something
unexpected, you know?
Joe is at this
it's a
big,
rainstorm in the Sahara
table with three poo-poo platters in front of him. I'm like, okay, Joe.
We've fallen
completely off the wagon.
There's a
wait, he's going to be at the Kowloon.
No, there's a paid event.
All right.
We had tickets, but Wallach, I can get you in. I know a guy. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of wrestlers, and it's going to be fun.
So is the diet, you're hanging in with the diet.
I'll go white rice tomorrow, a little beef and broccoli, you know?
Nice.
Okay.
Try to stay away from the fried.
Yeah.
They have sushi. I don't eat sushi, but it looks good.
Oh, that's too bad. Sushi's great.
The one thing is I've been staying off the General Gao because it's breaded.
Oh, yeah, that's big time.
That's tough, Jones.
Yeah, it's a problem.
The other thing, too, is my alcohol options have kind of have been limited since I don't have sugar or soda. So,
what are you left with?
Well, I know the Trulies have a little bit of sugar in it, or the High Noons. Those are the best ones.
Yeah.
I had those. But, yeah, I could drink like 10 of those.
You can't do your ciders.
Well, I can, but it's got a lot of sugar.
That's what I'm saying. You can't do your ciders.
But I did have cider flight a couple of weeks back.
Okay.
It's like, you know, 8 cider shots, and I just had them throughout the night.
Bop, 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 bop. Yeah, nice.
But I feel like crap the next day when I have sugar, so.
Mm.
Yeah, I used to drink a lot of Captain and Coke, and the next day I'd be really hungover, but it was from the sugar. Not from the booze.
Well, there's a little bit of the alcohol.
A little bit.
When I was younger, I spent a few days with the captain. The captain and I got intimately involved. And,
man,
no good mornings were after that.
Once you go riding with the captain,
no,
it's going to be a long weekend.
Joe, look how wistful Joe is. I can see him looking down like, yes, I remember when life was fun. Now life is not fun
again,
for you
anymore. The pizza is what I was thinking. Somebody was like, you give up pizza recently? I'm like, yeah.
It's bread.
Bread it. Can't
but it's
do
just that.
That,
like, how do you give up pizza? Like, could you give up pizza?
No.
That's what I mean. I've done it for 3 months. I'm torturing myself.
But Jones and I are a lot thinner than you are.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, that's part of it.
Listen, I'm wearing a shirt today. It says it's a 3X.
Nice.
It fits pretty good.
Nice. Looking
good.
Let's
do it down. That's right.
57 last I checked.
What are we talking about?
Down 57.
57 pounds last
night
since May 2nd.
All right, so there's we're not sure where we're stopping. You just like the results, the wife likes the results, and you're going to keep going.
I'm plateauing a little bit, though. I lost a pound last week.
There you go.
But I mean, you know,
it's the right direction.
It was consistent for a little while. I wasn't moving. I go, oh, no, am I going to have to work out now? That's what I'm worried about, Jones.
Well, you haven't worked out at all. It's just the diet.
Yeah, just the diet.
But that's good. That's a lot to lose.
I have more energy to work out.
Okay.
But I don't know.
We got the new. I was listening to a segment of your guys the other day talking about the new gym and the new building. You know, in 2023 when we get in there, there'll be a gym in there. You can get your pump on in there.
Well, what's the new over under on when we're going to actually get in?
Well,
ask Dan about this. He's got a great theory. He thinks it's going to be October. So,
well, I think Dan and I have similar theories then.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that.
What's
think
the drop?
Right.
What's the actual drop dead date to get out of here? September 30th.
September 30th.
That's probably the date. Yeah,
September 29th.
Yeah,
we're gonna get in the new building. Yeah. Getting back to the workout facility, it is legit. There's actually multiple stairmasters, multiple treadmills. There's like a cyber circuit.
Yeah, but I need my iron. I need to, if I want to get my pump on, I need my iron.
Didn't see any free weights. For
I don't have any free weights in there.
I didn't see any, but I didn't get a full view. I saw like 3/4. We stared at it off the top deck, so I think there might have been stuff underneath there.
I wanted to show Ted how to do a hang clean. That's what I wanted to show him how to do.
I'm sure you did.
But I guess
Ted Johnson would walk into that place and go,
I guess that's unfortunate.
Is it open on the weekends?
Of course. Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know.
No, there's no lock on the door. I think you can just walk down.
I hope it's open on the weekends. If it is, I'll...
So you're committing to this. We're getting on the Stairmaster. We're getting on the treadmill.
Yeah, but
we're
if I'm going to start working out, I'm going to start eating pizza. That's it.
Well, wait. That kind of defeats the purpose.
No, it doesn't.
No, it kind of lessens
the
losses.
I'll eat a pizza and sweat it out.
I'm actually kind of with Joe on this.
If it gets him working out, you both understand. All you're doing is breaking even at that point.
Yeah, but that's not losing anything. That's not bad. You're not gaining anything, bro.
Cardio is good. I'm just saying.
I'm kind of with Joe.
Defeats the purpose of the diet.
I'm kind of with Joe.
If I'm going to work out, listen. I told myself this a lot, dude. I used to bench like 350-pound workout every. No. I'm done. I retired. Like, no. Sure. When I see the gym, I'm like, nope.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's the deal. That's the trade-off.
That's always been my motto. that's always been my attitude about the gym.
All right, 617-779-0985, Friday edition of the Toucher and Rich program. Still to come today, Bert Breer from MMQB. We'll talk a little fantasy football with our own Mike Lockhart and Phil Perry from NBC Sports Boston as we get you ready for exhibition game number 2. Patriots, Carolina, a couple of joint workouts, a couple of brawls. I've listened to your show this week, Jones. I've heard all the commercials. I think I have a pretty firm understanding of what you believe the Patriots' problems to be. We'll get into all of that as we move along. We'll have what happened last night coming up next, Friday edition of Toucher and
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I wish you guys were my professors in college.
Brad, who are we if we cannot judge people?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
Friday edition of Toucher and Rich. John Wallach. Really, the only on-air version of that trio here today. Adam Jones is here. Joe Murray is here. They are in our Town Fair Tire Studios. I am remote today. And it is time for what happened last night. Red Sox had a game last night, believe it or not, for those people that are still paying attention. They closed down their three-game series in Pittsburgh looking for a sweep. Nathan Eovaldi was supposed to start. He was scratched on Wednesday night with a sore upper back and neck. So it was Josh Winkowski that got the baseball, and things did not go well.
He is. High deep drive. Backing up Verdugo, looking up, and he's done it again. Reynolds with his second home run of the ball game and his third in the last two games. And another two-run shot to make it 6-0.
That's Dave O'Brien and Dennis Eckersley on Nesson. Winkowski allowed 6 runs and 7 hits in 5 innings. Red Sox lost to a real bad team, 8-2 at PNC Park. Winkowski's had some decent starts this season, but last night was not one of them.
First home run was a mistake, and then the second one, you're behind 3-0, so it's going to, regardless of who it is, you know, when you put yourself in that spot, you're not going to usually get good results. So, I mean, definitely props to him, but, you know, a few mistakes.
Sox were down 8-0. They got a couple of runs in the eighth inning and had the bases loaded with 2 outs, but Alex Verdugo struck out to end the threat. Alex Cora's team is now 5 games out of a playoff spot with about 5 weeks left in the season.
You know, where you guys are and how much time's left, kind of, you know, these are the kind of games you can't afford.
I mean, we're not going to win every game either. You know, it's going to happen. And, you know, it's disappointing. We hate losing, but, you know, we took 2 out of 3. Now we got Baltimore. Ooh. We got Tampa and Toronto, right? And now you got to win series. Today wasn't great, but overall, the last two have been solid.
Yeah, Pirates starter JT Brubaker had a 2-10 record going into last night's game. He allowed 2 hits over 7 innings and struck out seven hitters for the win. Sox visit Baltimore tonight and tomorrow. And then, gentlemen, the two teams will play in Williamsport, Pennsylvania in the Little League Classic on Wednesday. Fun times all around playing in that empty ballpark in Pittsburgh the last 3 days.
I was going to say, that's where they should have played the Pirates, is in that Little League ballpark. It's a Little League team. And honestly, that comment from Cora is embarrassing. That's embarrassing. Like, oh, we're not going to win every game against this crap-ass team. You should. Like, you should win every game against the Pirates. You should have swept this team. They are a hodgepodge of nothingness, and you just got smoked by them last night. So, like, is that the right attitude from the manager coming out of taking even 2 out of 3 in this series? They should have swept. You were going for the kill, and you got smoked.
Ultimately, you look at a guy like Winkowski, and it's just this him. His acquisition screams Chaim Bloom. Remember, he was one of the prospects you got in that Andrew Benintendi for Franchy Cordero trade that blew up in your face. And we got a couple of minor league prospects. Here's the guy who is a hanger on in the rotation. He's at best a fifth starter, And this is Chaim Bloom's genius. You know, you trade a guy, you replenish the minor league system. Well, here's what the minor league is bearing. That guy, plus Franchi Cordero, who I guess hit two more home runs last night at AAA, a guy who's perfect for AAA but can't hit major league pitching. It's just ugly all the way around.
Yeah, he said something, too, that bothered me last night, Winkowski. You know, he was talking about how, like, his miss rate sucks or his whiff rate sucks. He's like, yeah, I pitched to too much contact, and, you know, when I give up a home run, usually it tends to be like a two or a three run shot. Like, why was this guy the one of
actually,
the
Jones, Dan has it right here.
Okay, good. Yeah, this annoyed me.
How fine is the line, you know, when you aren't getting swings and misses? Like how much does that limit the margin you have?
Yeah, I definitely walk a tighter rope than most guys, I feel like.
Oh, good.
I know my miss rate or whatever it is definitely lower. So guys put the ball in play on me, and you know that amplifies hits. Another thing that when home runs do happen, you know, tends to be not solo home runs, so definitely something I'm working on, and
yeah,
you know, hoping it eventually comes.
I keep working on that's what I keep working on. So like, again, this is maybe not the centerpiece. This is the centerpiece in the return for Andrew Benintendi, who's an all-star this year, and like
actually, it is. Yeah. Take a look at it, Jones. He is the centerpiece of that Benintendi return.
So like, this is your guy. He can't even strike people out. By his own admission, he can't even strike people out. So like, I don't know. That annoyed me. The Cora thing annoyed me. They should have swept this team. And I've given up on the baseball season. Like, they're below 500. Yeah. They're 10th in the American League. They're not making the playoffs. I'm under no illusion. But for those who were, you needed the sweep last night, and they screwed it up, and their manager sounds like he doesn't care.
Can I just say something? I tried to, like, look on ESPN for, like, you know, like some sort of summary for the game, and nope. The two teams they didn't for was the Pirates and Baltimore.
No, so, what do you mean? I'm looking at a summary.
Well, I'm on the scoreboard right now. I don't see a summary unless we're on two different computers. Anyways, they stink. They lost 8-2 to the Pirates. They stink. Oh, the Pirates must have been motivated from Dennis Eckersley. You know, like, the hodgepodge team. Yeah, you guys suck. And the scheduled loss. Jones, this was the old scheduled loss, because even after the game, I saw Corbin being like, yeah, that highlight we heard. Yep, on deck, we got these two teams coming up. It's like, just beat the people that are in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, beat the Pirates. Then go beat Baltimore. Then go beat Toronto and whoever else.
And you get the feeling they had, like, that built-in excuse because Evaldi got scratched. And they're like, right, scheduled loss. Shrug your shoulders. We already won the series. Evaldi's scratched. The real series is Baltimore. And it's like, no, you guys have run out of time. Like, all the real series were back in May, and you lost them all. So now you are where you are. Or where you are, rather.
Well, here's the thing now. I mean, the excuses are going to start. You know, Sale, once we get to the end of the season, you can almost write this stuff. You know what? If Sale had been healthy, if Evaldi had been healthy, if J.D. Martinez hadn't gone into an un-J.D. Martinez-like slump. Right. By the way, what's happened to that guy in the last 2 months? I mean, I've never seen him look worse. It's been about 6 years since he's been this bad. I mean, all of a sudden, he aged before our eyes. I mean, I don't know what has happened to this team.
He wants that $19 million arbitration. That's what's happening.
That's right. Sure. Yeah. But, I mean, you look at what's happened to this team, and no amount of positive spin, no army of Dan Roaches can come in here and tell me that there's anything positive that has to do with this team. I don't care, you know, if Rafael Devers hits a home run in every at-bat the rest of the season, this season is an epic disaster.
Yeah.
And they had one good month, one, and everyone went crazy, and I guess rightfully so, because no one expected this team. I thought this team was going to be below 500 at the beginning of the year. So here we are. They're below 500 when you're at the end of the season, and, you know, June was a mirage. It's amazing how high people were, say, what was it, Jones, June 20th? How high people were about this team, and then all of a sudden, everyone started realizing, oh, they can't beat division teams. So that's okay. They'll fix that later. They didn't fix anything. And Chaim Bloom seems to think he's the smartest guy in the room. I think those of us who don't run baseball teams have a pretty good grasp on what's happened here.
Yeah. Let me ask you. You were talking about J.D. Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure you want to re-sign Bogarts?
Yes, I am.
Mm.
I am. I'm sure I want to re-sign Bogarts.
He's got 9 home runs.
I know that. He hasn't had a good year at all. But I think he does have at least 3 or 4 good years left in him. I think that he is a guy who, throughout all of this, the mess that has been the last 5 or 6 years, think about all the highs and lows this team has gone through in the last 5 or 6 years. I think this team should reward that. I think they have more than enough money to do it, and I think it would go a long way for goodwill, not only for the players in their own clubhouse, but for guys on the open market to say, okay, here's a team that rewards loyalty. Here's a team that rewards guys that are leaders. I want to play for that guy.
I mean,
I think those things go a long way towards helping your franchise.
I understand there's a big difference between, you know, a shortstop and a DH and, like, the positional value of it, but, like, their raw numbers are not that different, Martinez and Bogaerts. So, look, I guess my only point would be I'd have a limit with Bogaerts, and I've always had a limit with Bogaerts, and I don't want the Red Sox cheaping out on anybody, but, like, there's a big difference between Devers, who you should just give a pile of cash to, and Bogaerts. Like, I might have a limit on Bogaerts based on the way he's played. He's been pretty poor.
This year he has been. I'm not going to argue with you, Jones. This year the numbers aren't good. But if you take a look at the totality of his work, I think this is the exception rather than the rule. Are you telling me that he's going to do nothing but this the rest of his career? That he can't possibly bounce back at age 31, 32, and 33?
No, I mean, he could, but are you?
I think he will.
Are you a little worried about it?
No.
I am.
No, I'm not worried about it at all. I think that this is this year, like this year for J.D. Martinez, has been a mess. And I think he was playing through some things earlier in the season, and I think that you'll see better from him starting next season. I think that his money well spent. And I was listening to Buster Olney a couple of days ago, and he says he thinks the Red Sox are going to come in with a Godfather offer and an offer that Devers can't possibly refuse. I don't know, man. Their track record with pending free agents and their own players is not necessarily great. I mean, they have come back and gotten a few guys, but I mean, it just insulting offers to the two guys that are basically the cornerstones of your franchise at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure they can do that. Any conversation with Devers at this point, because they've cost themselves too much money and they didn't give him a decent offer to start with, is 7 years and $280 million. If I'm Devers, I accept nothing less than that.
Yeah. Devers, I get. Devers, they got to pay. But I don't know. Bogaerts, I'm more down on. Like, this team moped around after the trade deadline for the second year in a row. He's a supposed leader of the team. I know they were in the ALCS last year, but some of that was lightning in a bottle. They backed into the playoffs on the last day of the year last year. They're underachieving again this year. Like, I feel like Bogaerts skates a little bit, and I'm not saying you're completely letting him off the hook. Wallach, you said he's having a crappy year, so you're not letting him off the hook. But I feel like he skates an awful lot as the leader of this team, and I don't know. I haven't liked the approach of this team. I haven't liked the attitude and his production. 9 home runs, 9. Like, he, J.D. Martinez, I think Verdugo has 7. It's the middle of August. How are these guys not hitting home runs?
What do you mean by approach and attitude?
I just said the team's moped. What do you mean?
Yeah, they
moped
around. Look at Rafael Devers.
They traded Christian Vasquez and acted like they traded Colton Fisk.
I thought you were talking about the players, not management. Management, I completely understand.
I am talking about the players.
Trading Vasquez and then acquiring.
I'm talking about the players. The players cried like they traded Vasquez. He's a borderline nothing player. They traded him, and the players have moped around for 3 weeks like they traded some Hall of Famer. He's never been an all-star. He's fine. He's nothing special. He's not worth moping around over, and I feel like Bogaerts was the leader of that moping around train, which is annoying.
I think they put too high a value on Vasquez, but ultimately I think the bigger point was the players are very confused. Okay, you're trading Vasquez. Okay, so that means you're going to trade Martinez and you're going to trade Eovaldi and you're going to go in a certain direction, and then they didn't. And the players are like, oh, what the hell's going on here?
I know.
They can't trust the guys in charge.
I know, but how long should that last?
Are we doing one thing or are we doing another thing?
But how long should that last, John?
You're sitting in
a day or like 3 weeks? Like, because it's 3 weeks now.
I don't think the talent level's there. I don't think the roster's good enough. They can grit their teeth and try as hard as they want and exercise as much plate discipline as they want. The pitching isn't there. The lineup isn't nearly good enough. And if they all stood and looked in the mirror, they would look at themselves and they'd look at the lineup Toronto runs out there every night. They'd look at the lineup the Yankees can run out there every night. They'd look at pitching Houston. They'd look at the Yankees. They'd look at all those teams that they would have to beat to go where this franchise allegedly wants to go. And they'd be like, no, we're not good enough. We're not even close to good enough.
Okay.
I don't think the talent, even if everyone tried their hardest and prayed to any baseball god they wanted to pray to, this team has no chance.
Yeah, look,
no chance of doing anything.
I think they should have sold. And I understand.
I agree with you.
I understand the mixed messaging. I get that that's frustrating for players, but it's the second year in a row. And some of this is Cora, too, by the way, letting the players mope around. It's the second year in a row they had this extended malaise after the trade deadline. Like, at some point, you got to show up and do your job. And I feel like the leader of the team should be, you know, leading in that regard. And he's not. It again was Christian Vasquez they traded away, who sucked in Houston, by the way. Reese McGuire has been better here in Boston than Vasquez has been in Houston. So, like, I don't know. Maybe just stop crying over Christian Vasquez and do your job.
Yeah, and you know, and to take that point further, as I just said, even if they all did their jobs, I still think they'd be okay 3 games out of the wild card instead of 5. It wasn't going to be like they were going to go on an 8-game winning streak. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, but
regardless
that, okay.
of if they had kept Vasquez or not.
I agree with you on that. There's a difference between us saying it and the team doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I want the players to try. I don't think they're going to make the postseason. I still want them to try. Like, on the outside, I can look at it and go, you have no shot. Why are you trying? But I want the players to actually try.
I just give you guys credit for watching the games.
Oh, I didn't watch. Oh, I didn't watch last night.
No, these are all opinions.
I tried to get the box score, Jones. I still don't see a summary.
I will have it on.
You think I watched last night? There was a
I told you guys this.
On last night. I didn't watch
brother,
it.
I've said many times to Fred and Rich, I'll have it on in the background. You know, say, oh, there's a home run for Verdugo, one of those seven. He's hit you this year. Oh, there it is. That's a home run. Hey, he struck that guy out. Matt Barnes actually pitched a scoreless inning and didn't get line drives hit back at him. Wow, that was really cool. But ultimately, I'm a huge baseball fan. I was a baseball fan first. It's trained in me to watch Red Sox games, but I'm at a point now where it's just like, oh, there it is. It's on over there.
Well, want an exciting product in the summer. There are other options. And right now, to me, team's not investing, I'm not investing, and that's how it is. I mean, I will talk about it, you know, but at the same time, like, I'm going to crap all over it, too.
All even right, though I'm not watching it. 617-779-0985. Friday edition of Toucher and Rich. We'll talk football next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're waking up. We're waking up. Boston sports fans.
Describing our show to anybody is strange.
I mean, this is nonsense.
What makes a show like this tick, tick, tick?
Toucher and Rich.
Oh, God, they're so dumb.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Friday edition of Toucher and Rich. John Wallach, Adam Jones, Joe Murray. Patriots have a game to play tonight. Let's hear it. Week number 2 of the NFL's exhibition season. They will play the Carolina Panthers after 2 fight-filled joint practices. Devin McCourty says his team is ready to go.
It's awesome to see. We're always going to support each other, our teammates having each other's back. Obviously, we know as we get in, but I thought we did a good job of coming out here and competing. Now it's getting ready to go Friday.
Well, I mean, that seems to be the exception rather than the rule. Everybody else I heard at training camp was like, no, 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 there's no fighting. There's no fighting at camp. That's not what we're about. And Jones, I'll let you hold court here a little bit because I've listened to your show. And as I mentioned earlier, we've all heard the commercials. This isn't good. This isn't good on a lot of levels. It's been a long time since I've seen a Bill Belichick team look this undisciplined.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder why. Because they have Bebop and Rocksteady working on offense with Patricia and Joe Judge, and it's complete and total chaos. So this is what you get. This is what you deserve when you bring in, you know, that sort of competence or lack thereof in the coaching staff. You have chaos, and it looks unprofessional. Why did it look professional for 20 years and now it doesn't? Because you have a bunch of guys who don't belong in the roles that they have, and the players aren't listening. Like, on some level, they're not listening. Do I think they go into practice every day going, I'm not going to listen to Joe Judge, I'm not going to listen to Matt Patricia or Steve Belichick on defense? No, I don't think they go in actively thinking that. But subconsciously, you go, these guys don't know what they're talking about. And I don't respect these guys. I don't respect the coach's kid. Sorry, I don't. And I don't respect, you know, the guys who suckle at the teat of Bill Belichick, and that's the whole reason they have a job in the league. They don't deserve the job that they have. I don't respect them. And so you have a bunch of guys who resent where they are, resent the situation, and are acting out. I think that's what's going on.
Well, just real quick before we get to the resentment, because I agree. Steve Belichick, lauded for all his work with the safeties. They're the hardest working guys at camp.
That's Brian Belichick.
Oh, that was Brian.
It's Brian.
Well, I read Steve.
Phil Perry, who we're going to have on at 9 o'clock, you know, he did a podcast with Tommy Curran yesterday, and Tom asked him who has been the best assistant coach in camp. And, yes, it was the safeties coach, according to Phil Perry. You know, the safeties have a big role on this defense. You know, you got guys playing down in the box. You got the extra DBs. The safeties are responsible for a lot of stuff. Safeties coach. Say Brian Belichick, safeties coach.
Wow.
Big ups from Phil Perry. But more to your point, you know, is there any part of this, and Fred and I talked about this yesterday, is there any part of this that is good in the team-building sense? Because this roster isn't necessarily as good as a lot of teams in the AFC. They have to play above themselves in order to go anywhere. I mean, I'm looking at this roster, and I think 8-9. That's what I'm going with. I don't think this is an above 500 team. They're going to lose more than they win this year. Does this team-building exercise, the fact that, like Devin McCourty said, we had each other's back out there, does that help them at all going into the season?
Yeah, if that's all that happened, like if it was just Robinson
Carolina.
Thank you. If it was just Robinson of the Panthers laying out Christian Wilkerson, well then, and the team responded, fine. Like that, I think that would galvanize the team. But instead, the Patriots did it the day before. They did it after with Dietrich Wise taking Christian McCaffrey to the ground. I don't know. Patriots fans want to talk about that. They're like, oh, their players running around treating this like a joke. Dietrich Wise did the same thing the very next play on the other side of the field with a much bigger star. Like, you don't want Christian Wilkerson laid out and concussed, but he's taking Christian McCaffrey to the ground in a drill where you're not supposed to do that. Clearly not supposed to do that. And I realize no Patriots fans are talking about that. Zoe's not talking about that. The Panthers are big meanies. Oh, the Panthers are such big meanies. They came in here and are too tough. Like, you took McCaffrey to the ground. The Patriots did the same thing the day before, and they were the instigators on Wednesday. The Patriots had more players kicked out of practice on Wednesday than Carolina did. David Andrews and Christian Barmore were fighting each other in the Patriots practice last week when there were no big, mean Carolina Panthers around. So, no.
Well, that's not. Now, you see that. Now, Jones, I understand a lot of what you're saying, but you see fights at practice all the time.
You do.
Discipline and undisciplined, good teams, bad teams.
You do.
That, you can't bring that up.
But Bill, I can. Bill doesn't want it. Bill tells guys not to do it. It's why he kicks them out. So just don't tell me that Carolina, the Patriots, it was all, you know, kumbaya and everybody getting along and the Panthers just came in like they're big meanies. Your own team was fighting with each other last week. Even if that's typical, it was happening last week before Carolina got here. So don't just blame Carolina. Is my point. And, you know, no, that's a long way of saying no. I don't think this is just galvanizing and good for the team. I think it's mostly a bunch of bullcrap with maybe one good incident in there around the Wilkerson hit. Other than that, no, it's an undisciplined, bad team.
So did they get anything accomplished in those two two practices?
No.
Anything accomplished at all?
But let me ask you this, and I have my 5-point plan later on today on the show.
We're gonna put aside a segment.
I know that Jones likes to call it peepers peeped, but I got a couple of things.
Peeled.
I think that's a Hardy's thing. That's a Hardy thing. Keeping your peepers peeled is Hardy.
You gotta copyright.
I remember Jones being there once. Anyway,
I think Jones was there for the maiden voyage. Peeled. That's a Hardy.
So I associate with him with
tip of the bright yellow British Open cap to Hardy on that.
But let's be real though. What are we getting out of these preseason games? Last week, right, when they ran their offense, it was, you know, Patricia did the first series and then Joe Judge took over. Down the stretch, it was Belichick. I've heard internally that it's Belichick who's going to call the offensive plays. I've heard that that's what's going to happen. Eventually, Patricia will run the offensive line and Joe Judge will do his thing. Judge might be upstairs. Patricia might be downstairs.
Judge is a quarterback's coach. Who's going to sit with the quarterback when he comes over and sits
down? So I don't know. Maybe he's down. I've heard Belichick's going
to
call the plays. Maybe we'll ask Bert Breer.
Well, Bert we told Beadle and Zoe the other day that Carolina noticed Bill had been running all the up-tempo stuff, all the two-minute stuff.
So will we see any of the new offense in these games? Because here's the deal.
No.
I take zero.
No.
App. absolutely zero away. And this isn't all preseason game suck or anything like that. I'm not doing that. If we don't see any new zone run schemes tonight,
we're not going to.
I'm out.
Well, part of the problem is I don't think you're going to see a lot of the starters tonight.
Well that's fine, but can you run something that looks like the Broncos offense then?
No.
Well, right now I think they're lost. Right now we're still in transition. They have obviously not perfected this thing, but in order for Mac Jones to succeed as a quarterback, the running game has to be on point. I mean, it's very important for this particular quarterback to have a good running game.
Yeah.
Because isn't the Shanahan offense predicated on play action?
Yeah, and they gave up the best
guard in the world. The running game. They have no running game right now. At least in the joint practices I've seen, no running game. Sorry, Joe, continue.
No, I was just going to say, they want to run the football. Last week, their longest yard was nine yards was their longest thing. And I know everyone wants to say, oh, don't take anything away from preseason games, blah, blah. They can't run the ball.
No, look.
They can't practice. They suck at practicing, too. They suck at sucking at practice.
Bill is
they
all in.
They suck at sucking? That means they're good, Joe.
Yeah, it's a double net. He was on a roll there. I didn't want to take away from it either, but
I just want to make sure we're all understanding.
No, I meant what I said.
Okay, you did.
I stand by it. They suck at sucking.
Okay. They're not going to show anything tonight, Joe. I don't think the starters are going to play. Matt Rhule said he's playing his second and third units.
Yeah, and the fact that Mac Jones got heavy reps in these two joint practices.
I don't think we're going to see him. Bill is all in on hiding this offense for week one, which is the dumbest thing ever, but he's all in on hiding the offense. Who's the play caller? Is it Matt Patricia? Is it Joe Judge? Is it Bill Belichick? What's the offense? He is all in on sneaking up on Miami in week one, which, great. They did that 2 years ago. After the pandemic against Miami week one, they unleashed Cam Newton week one against Miami. They won the game. They finished 7-9. So you can sneak up on whoever you want in week one. After week one's over, sneaking up is over and done with. And you're going to have to actually stop beating people on smoke and mirrors and beat them by lining up with talent. The Patriots don't have that. And
the worst case scenario,
that to me is the big problem.
The worst case scenario, Jones, is Bill doesn't have it ready yet. He's not quite sure how he's going to run it yet. That's the reason he doesn't have the starters out there.
That's possible against
live bullets. That's the reason Mac Jones and the starters aren't out there.
I like that theory.
Because they're not ready to be out there.
I like that theory. I just believe Bill doesn't want to show anything. And I think that's stupid, but I think that Bill is all in on not showing anything to anybody and confusing the Dolphins week one, which I think he's way too far in on that. That's my belief as to why we haven't seen anything.
And then everyone's going to say, well, it's an extension of the preseason, Joe.
Yeah, when they lose.
Right,
yeah, well,
the first month of the season.
Sorry, I'm already ready for that one.
No. Well, Bedard.
Chalk that one up.
Get ready to Bedard on postgame. The season doesn't start till October 1st.
All right, 617-779-0985 coming up after the break. Bert Breer of the MMQB still to come. We'll have Mike Lockhart on fantasy football and Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston Patriots with an exhibition game. The update is next here on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.